Try to get it positioned properly. I don't think that's a good tool. Guys probably like that better than me. One of the most difficult things here is climate control. You ever notice this? Okay, everybody say, we left off yesterday with the bomb kasha, all we shouldn't have in our sugya. And how could it be that the Gemara talks about the possibility of sleeping when it's tefillin on? The only thing the Gemara is worried about is that if you're going to sleep for too long, so inappropriate things are going to happen. Forget it, penalty marker now. How can you go to sleep altogether? Isn't that a flagrant violation of Hezchadas? Now, just how serious a violation that is, they're Isa, they're Abadah, that we spent a lot of time on yesterday, but the Mice, everyone agrees it's an Isser. So how do you solve that problem? So there's a famous comment of the Rosh in Masechet Brachos in the third breath, in the fourth letter of Mavakamas, where the Rosh quotes as follows, by Omer Rabbeinu Yonah, the fifth line of the Rosh, by Omer Rabbeinu Yonah Zamitoch Divra Rabbeinu Moshe Zal, Matzana Teretz V'Davazeh, Devad Dehetz Chadas V'Havi Elek Yishayimei B'Kalas Rosh U'V'Shok, Aval Kishayimei B'Yiro Mesasek B'Tzrochov, Aval B'Shayisik V'Malachto V'Manuso V'Ein Daita Len Mamesh, Ein Zanik Rehetz Chadas. Dilei Teimah Hochi, Ech Yuchal Odom Laniach Tfilin Kalayoy, well, loaded terrors from Rabbeinu Yonah. Says the Rosh, Hezchadas does not mean what we thought it means. We thought that Hezchadas means just losing track of tefillin, not thinking about tefillin. That's not true. It's not that you have to positively think about tefillin, says the Rosh. It's just that there are certain mindsets, certain things that you're thinking about are not appropriate in tefillin. That's called Hezchadas. Vos beit Hezchadas, Schoik, Betalus Rosh, those kinds of things. Now, again, we're not talking necessarily about a person who's thinking about real, real inappropriate thoughts. Those inappropriate thoughts are also all the time, even without tefillin on. We're talking about a good joke, watching a stand-up comedy show, you know, that kind of, you know, laid-back activity of Schoik, Betalus Rosh. So those are things, and we're not advocating, we're not encouraging them all the time, but with tefillin on, those are real serious problems. And that's because our man that has chadas is also. Therefore, says the Rosh, when you're sleeping, so your mind is blank, and a blank mind is not problematic in uchus tefillin. Blank mind is not a good thing in general, but a blank mind is not problematic in uchus tefillin. It's a negative mind, a negative mindset that's problematic in uchus tefillin. Therefore, sleeping per se does not pose a violation of Hezchadas. That's the famous terrors of the Rosh. Then the Rosh goes one step further and says, I'll prove to you it has to be that way. You can't say otherwise. There's no way you could say Hezchadas means that you have to actively think about your tefillin. And that's good. Because Man Chazal, we know that people wear tefillin all the time. We spoke a little bit about this in one of the previous interviews. Why is that phenomenon? Why was that phenomenon true? Why do people wear tefillin all the time? So it was actually a big machlokes as to what the reason for that practice was. We know that practice doesn't exist anymore in most places, but what was the reason for the original practice? So there was some achrayim saying, because that's the mitzvah tefillin in the Torah, that made the righteous, most of the tefillin all the time. The Torah doesn't say just to put on tefillin for a minute a day. The Torah doesn't say for 25 minutes. The Torah doesn't say 35 minutes. The Torah says, "Ukshartem v'osei yadecho." So the more the merrier, the more that I'm involved in wearing tefillin, the greater chi of mitzvah there is, even mid the raisa. And others say no. Others say that midaraisa, the real chi of a wearing tefillin, is really once a day, every day. A little short about how long? Like some minyanim, like the 6 o'clock minyanim. You know, chik-chak, on and off before you know it. That's the chi of midat Torah. There may be a kiyum midaraisa. That's what the Pirkei Avot writes. That there's a fulfillment of a mitzvah. You know, there are different kind of mitzvahs in the Torah. The mitzvahs chiyubises and the mitzvahs kiyubises. There are some mitzvahs that you have to do. And if I don't do it, I'm a vatal the mitzvah. I have to hear shofar. I have to shake a lulav. I have to eat matzah and the seder. Then there are other mitzvahs that you don't have to do it, but if you choose to do it, that's considered to be an extension of the mitzvah, min ha-Torah. So let's say, Lamashal, eating matzah the whole week of Pesach, so the famous shittas agra is that a chiyuv it's not, but a kiyum, in fact, it is. I remember I once had a conversation with somebody. They came to visit me in Chol HaMoed. They were Hasidish, and they were a relative of everyone. They came to the house in Chol HaMoed, and they saw that we had machine matzahs in the house. So they went ballistic. You know, but Hasidim, machine matzahs, and not a good shidduch. So they said to me, first of all, they had two timers. They said, first of all, they said to me, the matzahs are chametz stick. So I said, I beg to differ. Okay, fine. So the Eidish one, even that chametz stick, how can you be Yetzeh, the Gevaldik Mitzvah of eating matzah the whole week of Pesach? It's not Lishma. So I said, I have multiple disagreements. First of all, Apidim is Lishma, because when you turn on the machine, that's also called Lishma, according to most of the Paskin. And the Eidish one, even if you're right, that it's not called Lishma, you don't have to eat matzah the whole week of Pesach. Says in the Ferish Gemara, then the end of the Tzadus Pesachim, that the mitzvah chiyuvis of the Erev Tov HaMatzah is only by the Seder, it's not for the duration of Pesach. So this individual said to me, state in Heligus Svarim, it says in the holy books, that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah the whole week of Pesach, and eating matzah the whole week of Pesach is more important than eating by the Seder. So I responded back that in my world, the Gemara is also a very holy book. It's actually holier than all the holy books that he's quoting. And the Heilige Chazal, the holy rabbis of the Talmud, were of the opinion that that is not the case. That whatever there is or is not a mitzvah kiyum is to eat matzah the whole week of Pesach. So to say that it's more important than Lila Seder is mamish alikadin. It's mamish against the din b'feirush. And then he said to me, and by the way, when is the highest level of the mitzvah kiyum is the greatest mitzvah to eat matzah, the greatest of the greatest? More than the Seder, more than the whole week of Pesach? Mostly just one. Pesach Shaini, das is la mala, mala, mala. At that point, they knew we were talking a different religion, so we parted ways amicably at that point. Anyway, so the bottom line is that everybody agrees that in the Olam real Olam HaTorah, so, I mean, there's also Olam HaTorah, but in the authentic, you know, Torah Shema Feh, so then the mitzvah chiyuvis is the first night of Pesach, that's for sure. Whether or not there is a mitzvah kiyumis the rest of the week is subject to a debate. It's machlok, it's the gro, others are machlok, it's the rishonim already, that we can discuss. So it's very important in halacha to differentiate between a mitzvah chiyuvis, something that you have to do, and something that you don't have to do. And if you don't do it, it's not a bitul mitzvah, but it is considered to be a good, positive thing. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. So the Prima Godim discusses whether the fact that you wear tefillin in the olden days all day, was that a chiyuv? That was not mishpah chiyuv to do it? Or is that just the Torah's kiyuv? But whatever it is, they did it. The bottom line is we know we have documented from Chazal they wore tefillin all day, even though they were working all day. Everyone was sitting and learning Torah all day. Everyone was sitting and saying tefillin all day. They were working. The Gemara in the third Perek of Brachos describes if a guy's carrying a box on his head, that's his job. He's a porter. He's carrying something on his head. So how does he maneuver his tefillin in such a way that it's not disrespectful to the tefillin? The guys were walking around, they were sweeping the floors, they were running, they had a carpenter shoes shop, they were jewelers, they were fixing things, they were painting houses, they were wearing tefillin. So how can you do that? It's the Ches Chadas. So says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not Ches Chadas. As long as you're not telling jokes, as long as you're not trying to tell us motion at that time, you're simply doing your standard, you know, regular work. Work is neutral, says Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a holy, holy thing. On the other thing, it's not a bad thing. It's neutral. So I'm sitting in I'm a lawyer preparing for my case, I'm an accountant, I'm crunching the numbers, I'm a doctor, I'm doing surgery, I'm wearing my tefillin. There's nothing wrong with that. Because those are neutral activities. As neutral activities, that's perfectly okay to do them with the tefillin on. And so Rabbi Yehuda brought a raya. And the fact that Bizman Chazal, they always wore tefillin all day, even though they clearly were not thinking about the tefillin 24/7, not shy to think about your tefillin as you're doing your open heart surgery. So clearly, the Isser has Chadas. Does not require us to be thinking about this all the time. It simply means Chalitza's Rosh is also. And therefore, Shayna per se would not be a violation. This is the famous theory of Rabbi Yehuda, it's called by the Rosh.
In the olden days, your Avodah wasn't neutral, would you still
find it's worse all the time? What do you mean, what kind of Avodah did you have?
Let's say you're garbage man or something.
So, okay, so then the Gemara talks about different things about what kind of physical things would be a bizarre. Let's say, Your job is a stand-up comedian or something, so that would be a problem. That's just something called ropes. So you can't sit around and tell jokes with your tone on, right? Does everyone agree to this rush? Probably not. So the Sheikh Asariye claims that he has to share who disagree with this rush. He claims the Ramban disagrees with the rush. Ramban. So the Ramban appears in the Sefer Teres HaAdam. Teres HaAdam was a classic Sefer written by the Ramban. It appears in the Kol Kisvei Ramban, Chelik Beis, that we have printed today. It was a Sefer literally about the story of man, the laws of man. It talks about life and afterwards. It starts off with a person, the dinim of chaylem, and it moves into the dinim of avelos, and the hesped, and kriya, and kruor, all the different things that happen. And then at the very end, he talks a lot about olam habaotchis, amazing things, etc. Sefer Teres HaAdam. So in the Sefer Teres HaAdam, the Ramban discusses the following. It's actually a little bit of a follow-up to something we spoke about earlier in the year. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we mentioned that an ovel, Yom Rishon, doesn't wear tefillin. We spent a lot of time talking about why that's true, Me'atorah, Me'derabanan, what's called Yom Rishon, etc. An ovel doesn't wear tefillin. But if the Yom Rishon does wear tefillin, it's the fourth day of Avelos, he wears tefillin. So says the Ramban, what if the ovel's wearing his tefillin in the base ovel on the fourth day, and somebody comes and starts to give a real geshmak a hesped. Mom in the military, they say, oh, I remember your father. They start telling stories, and everyone gets all, you know, emotional, you know, which is that's exactly what's supposed to happen. And the ovel sitting there with his tefillin on, starts to cry. He says, oh, yeah, I remember the father. He starts to remember, oh, yeah, what a maspid. After, you know, be like, some people really know how to find. There are some good maspidim, and some not so great maspidim. This guy's a real crackerjack maspid. He used to say that the Rav was the greatest master. The Rav Soloveitchik was a phenomenal. He used to have these really, really phenomenal hespedim. And the Rav was nifta, so the shmur was, it's chaval, because the only one who could have been mastered the Rav properly was the Rav. You have to really be a good master. So this fellow sitting in the base of it, with his tefillin on, kedasuk on his fourth day of Avos, and the tears are flowing, and the heart's aching. You know what the Ramban says? Take off your tefillin. Says, well, I should be sitting in tefillin. What do you mean, Rabbi? It's not your mission anymore. Says Ramban, when it's such azah, shasa hesped, it's not appropriate to be wearing tefillin. Why? What does Ramban say? Because there's an issue of what? Hesech hadas in your tefillin. And crying and screaming and being into the agony is a violation of hesech hadas of tefillin. We have a little bit of this Ramban, we have a little reminiscence of this Ramban, one day a year, we spoke a little bit about this also in the past, that on Tisha B'Av, there was a machlokes in Rishonim, should you wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av? So some Rishonim said, Tisha B'Av is like Avo Yom Rishon, it's the worst of the worst, it's at the height of the height, it's like Avo Yom Rishon. And most of the Rishonim said, no, it's not Avo Yom Rishon, it's like Avo Yom Chamishi. It means it's Shiva, yeah, you know, you're sitting on the floor, you're not washing, you're not wearing shoes, you're not learning, etc. So it has a lot of the trappings of Avelos. Avo Yom Rishon is Mishnah. The Afal Bichain, there's a Minig Yisrael that we have not to wear tefillin until after Chatzos. Why don't we wear tefillin until after Chatzos? What's shot in that minute? So some suggest because what do we do in the morning until Chatzos? What's the basic theme of the first half of Tisha B'Av? It's a Kiddus. So B'Shas Kiddus is like B'Shas Hesped. It's a Hesped for the basic Mishnah, it's a Hesped for Klaus, it's a Hesped for Atzaris. So during the time we're saying kiddush, oh, we're crying, oh, yeah, yeah, Eli Tzion, the Arab, it's Aisi, we're crying, all the Tzion, all the Sishali, all the crying, the tear-jerking kiddush, you're going to wear tefillin. That's not right. Tefillin Asur, Besach Hadas. So even if you hold that the Tisha B'Av does not really have the status of a Yom Rishon, but B'Shas kiddush Mamish, that's like wearing your tefillin B'Shas Hesped. So comes the Sheikh Asayi and says, I don't understand. If Rabbi Yain is right, that the din of Hesech Hadas only includes Schoit Bekal's Rosh, it is kind of hard to describe Shas Kinnah, Shas Hesped, Shas Bechi as a Schoit Bekal's Rosh. Anything, it's the opposite of Schoit Bekal's Rosh. So why does the Ramban invoke that imagery of Tefillin Asurim, the Hesech Hadas, to prohibit wearing Tefillin, B'Shas HaHespedim? Zem Fundo says, the Sheikh you see from here, that the Ramban had a different mindset than Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Rosh were of the opinion that Heschadas means Chayk Bekal's Rosh. The Ramban took the Gemara Kipshutai. Heschadas means any and every non-tefillin thought, that's a problem. That's an Isser, according to some in HaTorah, according to Tais Me'edonim in Rabbanon, but there's an Isser going through Messiah Das and Yitzvillin. It doesn't matter what the context of your mindset is, whether you're happy or sad, if it ain't tefillin, that it's problematic. So the Sheikh Asayi created this machlokes between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah. Everyone want to go down that route of the Sheikh Asayi? Does someone want to argue with the Sheikh Asayi?
And all
the people in Chazal were chilling. Yeah. So we're still not sure how the Ramban would address, how the Sheikh Asayi would address that question. We got work to do.
It's something. The point of the Rosh wasn't just that it's a joyous thought. It's just anything antithetical.
There you go. That was the word I was looking for. Perfect word. Antithetical. I was about to say that word. The Chayra one could argue the Shikis. The Chayra. The Rosh didn't mean to highlight Dafkas Chok Mikalas Rosh. Simply what the Rosh was trying to say is there are, the whole world is divided into three different kinds of mindsets. There are positive mindsets, there are negative mindsets, and there are neutral mindsets. Positive mindsets in Tefillin are to be thinking about Kedusha, to be thinking about Tefillin, to be thinking about a Kedush Baruch Hu, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Talmud Torah. So that's the Tefillin model. Then you have things that are just antithetical to Tefillin. They don't fit into the model of Tefillin. What are they? So I have two different people who are just not in the Tefillin mindset. One guy, he's watching I don't even know what the names of the things are. Mr. Malam, I'm called from back to the Late Late Show. Remember, they used to be the old stand-up comedy at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I imagine that things have changed since those days, okay? So he's watching, I think a good comedy show for him. Yeah, whatever. Okay, okay, I don't want to say anything that's inappropriate, so I'll date myself back to the 60s when, my kids always have, when the kids were little, they have the same time against me. I understand, Alma. You always quote the Flintstones, and you always quote the Brady Bunch, so how come we're not allowed to watch TV? So I said, Terrence is very partial, good cash, good Terrence. I said, if TV today were the Flintstones and the Brady Bunch, you could also watch TV. Fine. So comes Aloch and tells us there are positive tefillin dikei machshavos, and then there are antithetical tefillin dikei machshavos. Vos main antithetical. So one mile of antithetical is the guy sitting up cracking some jokes. That's one antithetical. If another guy, a guy's hysterical crying, he's so tarud and his tzar, is never there. It's very, very hard for a person to be in the state if you have to shilakecha, and he's sitting there and weeping and crying over his relative. Okay, maybe he should be crying over his relative. But if he should be crying over his relative, that's okay. But what should he do? Take his tefillin off. Because that kind of a mindset doesn't sit well with the model of tefillin. Remember, we spoke about this in the past. Tefillin is a pe'er, tefillin is beauty, tefillin is a majesty, tefillin is royalty, tefillin is the kesef HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow. That doesn't fit well, doesn't sit right with the state of being sitting on the floor and crying. So, li'aylam, we could argue with the Sheikh Asari. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Yehuda were not arguing with one another. They were both simply giving two different sides of the spectrum of antithetical tefillin mindset. But what if it's nishtah? It's not stand-up comedy. It's not Bechi Ve'evil either. It's just simply neutral. So what? It's parva. What's parva? Give me an example of a parva mindset. The guy's painting the house. The guy's digging a hole. The guy's gardening, mowing somebody's lawn. He's doing his work. Give me another example of parva activity. He's fast asleep, snoring away. Parva, nothing happening. He's not thinking about anything sin, not thinking about anything happy, not thinking about anything. Simply neutral. Neutral activity. You could argue that Shem is never necessary to it. But the Hilgi Shagisai didn't go down that route. The Hilgi Shagisai really believed that the Ramban meant to disagree with the Rabbeinu Yehuda, disagree with the Rosh, and had that all-encompassing problem of Hezchanas. So how you talking? What do you do with Akasha? Arsugya. The verse says, Mutter sleep. So what's Pshat? What's Pshat according to the Ramban? Assuming the Ramban exists. That beer in the Ramban exists. Assuming anybody disagrees with Rabbeinu Yehuda in the Rosh. So how are you allowed to sleep in your throne? So says the Sheikh Isariyeh, what do you mean tefillin are also beschadas? I'm wearing tefillin for an hour. So every second of that hour, I have to be focusing on my tefillin. And come on, guys. We're living in the Torah Malachi Asharis. Obviously, it has to be some sheer bedover. There has to be some amount that I say, I violated the shear of Heschadas. Like, Moshavod Davademe. I want to be Yetzir Chilismat after the Kizayis. I want to be Yetzir Kiddush after drink X amount, my lubub. There's shear of an alocha. There has to be some way to measure what's considered to be how much Heschadas is Heschadas. So the Sheikh Asari says, I'll tell you what I think the shear is. But I'll tell you what I think the shir is not. If you remember back to Agamar and Baruch Abba Meralef, the Gemara didn't mention the word as chadas. That was the problem. What was the Gemara talking about? The Isra of what? What was the whole topic of sleeping in one's tefillin? And what's the fear of sleeping in one's tefillin? Lest it comes l'day, different b'zayin, Hashem yafiach, etc. So what did the Gemara say? The Gemara quoted Bryce, it says that what? That if it's just that I'm raw, it's just a very, very short amount of time, there's nothing to worry about. How do you measure that short amount of time? So you have to try to do a little experiment to figure out. Chazal said, up to 100 amas worth of walking. How long does it take you to walk 100 amas? 2-3 minutes, whatever it is. It's highly unlikely that you're going to reach that point of Shem Yafiach Bem. And therefore Chazal said, that's okay. So Chazal never said you can go to sleep for 10 hours, take a Shabbos nap, you know, the flesh milk nap. You go to sleep, flesh, you wake up, milk, you're not a yaki. That 6-hour nap, that's not what Chazal was talking about. That's Takal Asa. You go Shem Yafiach. But Chazal permitted sleeping in tefillin, they permitted a very, very small window, a very, very short amount of time. Says the Shagisai, Mistama, that short amount of time is not enough to be a violation of what? What the other is, sir? As Chadas. What is the Shiv as Chadas? I don't know, says the Shagisai. I have no idea what the Shiv as Chadas is. But I tell you what it's not going to be violated. Less than 100 amas, maybe it's 200 amas, maybe it's 10,000. I don't know what the shear is. Maybe it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I don't know how long it is. But to say that you're going to be in violation of Hezchadas with a short nap, says the Shagazai, that can't be, because otherwise Agamara would be incorrect. The shear that up there at Agamara to take a shear of Sarah would be incorrect. Could you take the Shagazai and almost like fine tune it, touch it up a little bit for our purposes, and say that the Shagazai is 100% right? The amount of sleep that Chazal permitted and weren't worried about, Shem Yafiach, will automatically cover you for any Yisr of Hezchadas. Not just because there's some arbitrary number of Hezchadas that we don't know what it is, but maybe the Shia of Hezchadas is, believe it or not, what? Is that same 100 Amos? Is that same Shia of Shem Yafiach with him? That would be really neat. That would be a really, really great coincidence if those two Shurim were the same. Now again, we're a little bit in Never Never Land over here because we don't have any mention of Chazal, of any Shia that's Chazal. So the Shagazai says, it's got to be. It's got to be a Shia, otherwise they live on a site. So the Shagazai, Mikrech HaSvara, is forced to say this is a Shia. And he's forced, because of logistical, because he claims the Ramban argues with Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rosh, he's forced to say that the Ramban has to hold that that Shia is less than the, can't be less than the shear of 100 amas. Can't be less. How much is it? It's 100 amas plus X. What's X? I don't know what algebra. I don't know what X is. But maybe we can say, no. It's not 100 amas plus X. What is it? It's amas. Isn't that bizarre? Isn't that kind of cute that the two shear ended up to be the same? Well, maybe there's much deeper to that.
You can't say that because then the problem would be that's the gas, not the...
You mean, why did the Gemara talk about the Gufnaki? Oh, yeah, we'll get to it in a second. So there's a one-liner in the Tosfos Yeshanim in Maseches Yuma, somebody was talking to me about it during Seder, where Tosfos Yeshanim, Tosfos Yeshanim, by the way, no pun intended, not Tosfos Yeshanim, they're not the sleepy Tosfos, they're Yeshanim. Why are they the old Tosfos? They're not any older than the regular Tosfos, but when the printer decided which Tosfos to put into the Gemara, so some of the Tosfos got lost out, so then they reprinted, so they threw in the Tosfos Yeshanim into the margin. So they wanted to make them feel good. They said, these are the Alta Rebbes, the Alta Rebbes, the old Rebbes, the same Rebbes, the same Balei Tosfos that we're used to. They call the Tosfos Shem, fine. So they're from the same school, same Yeshiva Balei Tosfos. So the Tosfos Shanim in Yuma has an interesting comment. Tosfos Shanim writes that, why is there an Yisr Hezchadas? What's the nature of the Yisr Hezchadas? So we think Hezchadas is some kind of an emotional, some kind of psychological thing. Yeah. We don't want you to have a different mindset. Whether you think the different mindset means stand-up comedy, like Rabbeinu Yonah, whether you think it means crying and screaming in pain, like the Ramban. No, says Tosfos Yeshanim. You know what's wrong with Hezchadas? Because if you're Masiach Das and you're Tefillin, something else may happen. What may happen? Shem Yafiach Bem. You'll end up going to the bath. End up doing things that attack are physically inappropriate for your children. What did the Tosfos Yeshanim just say? There is no independent issur called Hezchadas. There's nothing wrong with Hezchadas per se. Hezchadas is also because when you're in the state of Hezchadas, it's going to lead you to violate other things. Therefore, it makes perfect sense. What should the shear of Hezchadas be? Identical to the shear of Sheina, Shevi Yafiyah, because it's the same issue. It's Hayuach. There's one issue called don't be in a state of coming to physical disgrace to the children. That will be accomplished. You will meet that problem. You will bump into that problem, either if you're wide awake but just totally lost sight of the fact you're wearing tefillin for 20 minutes, or if you fall asleep for that amount of time. There's also that concern of Shevi Yafiyah. So there's no independent issue of Hezchadas, sometimes you show them. It is identical to the issue of Sheina, and it's identical concern in fear of Shem Yafiyach, and therefore the Shear is actually identical. So this is like Shagasai fine-tuned a little bit. So you might say there's an interesting idea that's now emanating here as to what our take on Hezchadas is. Is Hezchadas something that's also before Atzmai? There's something intrinsically wrong with Hezchadas, not because of what it's leading to, but just the status of Hezchadas proper is problematic with filling the extension of tzitz. That was the Rebbe Yehuda, the Rosh's approach, and therefore they had to fine-tune what is Hezchadas, what is the real concern of Hezchadas. What do I say now? That Hezchadas per se is not problematic. It's just Hezchadas can lead to things down the line, and it's the things down the line that are much, much more problematic. If that is our take on Hezchadas, that there's nothing intrinsically awesome with Hezchadas, it's just that it's going to lead to bad things, what kind of a halacha is that?
Zero.
That's a very gezeirish, very siyavi kind of a thing. Don't do A because of what it's going to lead to. There's nothing wrong with doing A. Give me a good example of a siyag. Like a real good example of a
chicken
siyag.
And milk.
What?
Chicken and milk.
Right, so chicken and milk is not per se also. The Torah says gedi, and chicken is not a gedi. So the Chazal said, you know what, if you get into the habit of eating chicken and milk together, next thing you know is you're going to end up eating meat and milk together. So there's nothing intrinsically also with chicken and milk. It's a gezeirah, it's a siyag, atu, something more problematic, something that's really problematic. So now we're raising the question, is Hezchadas fall into that category of nothing really wrong with it? It's okay to be Mesiach Das. That's fine to be Mesiach Das. Just, if you're Mesiach Das, this is what's going to potentially happen, and that's problematic. So the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ramban seem to be looking at Hezchadas through the lens not of Siyag. And yet now, because Yishonim and others were suggesting, maybe it's more Siyag oriented. When we think of Siyagim, what's a usual take on Siyagim? We usually think that, what's the source for Siyagim? All din that we, let's say, Lamasha, not even chicken and milk together. We would never call that a din deraisa, that's a din midravonim. The Mishnah says we have to make siyogim for ourselves. There's a mitzvah. One of the dinya Torah is that Chazal have to make siyogim to protect, to make a fence around the dinya Torah. If that's the case, that the whole nature of the Isser of Hezchadas is really the Torah siyog, who would this give a little bit more credence to? Who would this give a little bit more strength to? A little bit more support to? Tosfos, remember yesterday we said, we're not even sure this is really even exists in the Torah. So maybe in the Torah, this is, it doesn't exist, it's just a siyag. But that's probably not correct. I'll tell you why. Even if Tosfos is right that the Isser of Hezchadas and Tefillin is only with the Rabbanan, there is this Hezchadas with the Raisa on what?
Tzitz.
On the Tzitz. That everyone agrees with the Bitzchot Tomis, the Bosin Chumash. Whether or not you think that we should or should not extrapolate the Tefillin is subject to yesterday's shiur. But the basic form of the basic surah of an Issa Hezchadas on some Devarim Kedoshim, since for sure, Efshat Tefillin, maybe and maybe no, that concept is deraisa. So how can it be? How can the Yeshurim say, oh, this is just a siyag, there's nothing really wrong, don't worry about it, it's just going to lead? How does that fit into the world of a deraisa? So the answer is that we usually associate siyagim with derabanans, but not always. There's actually a concept, min ha-Torah siyagim. There's a deraistic concept that don't do A min ha-Torah because it's going to lead to B. So usually most assume deraisa, not A is going to lead to B. Let's say, Marshall, don't do halacha on Shabbos. I can't drive the car on Shabbos. Why? Because it's going to lead to terrible things. Well, lead to terrible things. You can't drive the car on Shabbos because driving the car on Shabbos is a terrible thing. You can't eat chazer Why? Oh, gevalt, you need chazer, you can end up being a bit of a zon. I'm sure you can't eat chazer. The Torah Kedosh says you can't eat chazer. You can't wear shatnez. If you wear shatnez, who knows what's going to happen? Who knows? I don't care what's going to happen. Right now, you're wearing shatnez. So most of the Yisuri HaTorah are Yisurim Ba'atzvusa. They are independently, intrinsically problematic. Every once in a while, we bump into a strange phenomenon that the Torah itself creates a siyog for us. It's not enough that the rabbis make siyog. The Torah sometimes also. So there's a compilation of brises called Avos de Rabbi Nosson. Avos de Rabbi Nosson, it's like parallel to Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos were put together by Rabbi Yehuda Nosi. Avos de Rabbi Nosson were written by Rabbi Yehuda Nosi's colleague, Rabbi Nosson. So called Avos de Rabbi Nosson. It's printed in the back of the Gemara as a Masechet of the Zohar. So in the brisa of Avos de Rabbi Nosson, the Tanoim make the following observation. We say in the Mishnah, Asu Siyag L'Torah, Ezu Siyag Asta Torah L'Dvareha. Where do we find that the Torah itself makes a Siyag? Most of the time, Siyagim are only the Rabbanans. Where do we find that the Torah proper makes a Siyag? So that's, close. Anyone know the example of the Nosson? So you're both close. You're in the right parsha. You're in the right sugya. What? Oh, so comes the Avos de Rabbi Nosson makes the following. It says in Parshas Achrimos, the whole list of women were also be Givya Rayas, and as the introduction to the Parsha Givya Rayas, the Torah says, "Lo sikervu legalis erva." You shouldn't come closely to Givya Rayas. What do those words mean? Lo sikervu legalis erva. What's pshat lo sikervu? Does that mean Givya Rayas? It means Givya Rayas. It already says it. So the Avos de Rabbi Nosson says that Lo sikvu legalis erva is what the Torah means to tell us, don't be involved in activities that can potentially associate and lead to degil erayis mamish. For example, the Avos de Rabbi Nosson says, minayim, shlo yechabek, shlo yenashek. A person should not be involved in any other kind of physical activities with a woman who's asur to him, because those kind of activities lead to degil erayis. Talmud lem lo sikvu legalis erva. So the Rambam, Menuchas Yisur Biya, quotes this Avos de Rabbi Nosson and says that if a person violates chibuk benishah berayis, he's chay malchus. He did a mamash issa gomer min haTorah. That's what the Rambam says. Issa gomer min haTorah. But the nature of the issa Torah is b'tar siyag. Don't do A, not because A per se is so terrible. A is only problematic because it leads to B. So don't be a big chacham and say, I'm going to do A, I'm not going to do B. That's not going to save your malchus. It means A is asur, but the nature, the tzur of the issa is b'tar siyag. Anyone know another example where we find that you're not allowed to do A, min haTorah, but the thrust of A is atu B? It's the famous Ran. The Ran, very, very beginning, of Masechet Pesachim, has this theory also, that the Isser of Chometz really is an Isser Achid. You're not allowed to eat Chometz. So why does the Torah come down so hard and say that, oh, by the way, you're not allowed to own Chometz? What's wrong with owning Chometz on Pesach? So the Ran explains that the Torah asks that owning chametz on Pesach as a siyag unto eating chametz. And then you can philosophize about why the Torah made a siyag dafke bechametz, it's an isakores, and since we eat chametz all year long, people are going to be more lax in it. So we can explain away psychologically why the Torah made this gezeira, made this siyag that it didn't make by other isurim. But the Ran says, b'ikaron, the isur by Rav Matzah, the isur by Rav Matzah, are really isure siyag midaraisa. So this is not such a foreign concept that exists, that you can have something that the Torah assers, but the thrust of the nature of the assur is atziyah. So it could be that's what the Shavim is driving here as well. But there's nothing per se assur about Hezchadas. Hezchadas is problematic because of what it's going to lead to, namely the physical disgrace of the tefillin Aishim Yafiyach
Bechadoyim.
So Sumi and Shabbos is a good example of a Gzeira mid Rabbanim. It means Min HaTorah, you're allowed to Sumi and Shabbos, mid Rabbanim, you can't, because Gzeira is Rabbanim, we got thousands of them. I try to highlight a couple of the gzeiros deraisa. That's already a chiddush. So the bottom line is we have a few approaches in the Gedalia Rishonim to explain this phenomena. Why is it that one is permitted, at least under very, very limited circumstances, to sleep in one's tefillin? What happened to Hezchadas? So the two basic approaches that we have are Ben Yehuda and the Rosh is saying Hezchadas only meant problematic thoughts, not neutral thoughts. And then you have Imtum Tzolom, someone argues, not even Shulchan Ramban argues, but Imtum Tzolom, someone argues, and Tzolom Tzolom definitely argues, who are saying that, no, the reason why it's okay to take the short naps is because you didn't reach the state of Hezchadas. Didn't reach the shear, you didn't reach the number yet to be in violation of Hezchadas. And again, it says Yisharim adds on that Nakuda, that the shear is actually identical to the shear of Shem Yafiach, because the whole Isser is in a sense of Shem Yafiach. There is a third approach to this topic, probably one of the most fascinating approaches to this sugya of sleeping in tefillin. And that doesn't appear in Rishonim proper. Maybe alluded to, maybe some Rishonim maybe alluded to this in another Teretz. But this Teretz I'm about to share with you appears in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan has the following interesting shot, the throwback to yesterday's year. We know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's no mitzvah to wear tefillin. How do you know there's no mitzvah to wear tefillin? Who remembers? Oh, so we probably paskin. It's Shatr the Osei Adecha. So Yatzim Shabbos Yom Tov that themselves are an Osei, and then Machlokes Shabbos Cholamoid an Osei. That whole sugya in Maseches Menachos is about why we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. But the we know wear tefillin on Shabbos. You could sometimes have a strange phenomenon where a person is wearing tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov. Why is he doing that? Not to fulfill the mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah anyway. And for Ked, he has in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, he's probably in violation of Al-Taisir. Why is he wearing tefillin on Shabbos Yom Tov? So either it could be he was wearing them before and they got stuck on the way and he can't take them off, he's afraid to put them down. So he's basically wearing them not b'toras mitzvah, he's just kind of wearing the b'toras shmira just to protect them. Or, who knows, some other examples of more. The sugya in the animal says, the guy's mamash walking on the way, Shabbos morning, he sees a pair of tefillin laying there on the floor, laying in the middle of the street. So under certain circumstances, he's allowed to actually put it on and wear them. And the Gemara's whole discussion is that called carrying, not called carrying, and not for now. So you can have a wild scenario where a fellow is wearing tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov, but he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. He couldn't even if he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah. So the guy's walking around the street on Shabbos afternoon with his tefillin on, with a big sign saying, Shalom the Shem Mitzvah, Hinibel Shalom the Shem, I don't want to be on about Taisif. And there's a real great stand-up comedy taking place. You know, some really geshmaka jokes going on. You know, the chevra, you know, it's the kiddush club, which you shouldn't be at anyway. Come on, they're joking around, they're bouncing around. And he's standing there with his tefillin on. And he's laughing up a storm with his tefillin on. What do you think? Who thinks that's a violation of Hezchadas? Who thinks it's not a violation? Who thinks they're not sure? What do you think that child would depend upon?
Since
we're back to yesterday's year, right? If you hold that the nature, the Isser of Hezchadas is a pegam and the Kedushas are tefillin, tefillin are just as Kaddish on Shabbos as they are on Tuesday. Let's say a guy wants to wear tefillin to the bathroom on Tuesday. It's a new kula. If you wear tefillin to the bathroom on Tuesday, why? Because tefillin, Shabbos loves ben tefillin. I can throw the tefillin onto the floor on Shabbos, I'm actually drunk, right? It's a farce. What is the mitzvah tefillin or not the mitzvah tefillin? What is the zman of mitzvah? How does that impact on the kedusha tefillin? There are some tanoim who say that you're not allowed to tefillin at night min haTorah. We have the basket, that's probably not true. We basket that min haTorah you really can wear at night. The rabbanon you shouldn't because you're going to fall asleep with them. But according to the tanoim who say that you don't wear tefillin at night min haTorah, so you're allowed to take the tefillin and throw them into the bed, throw them to the garbage at night because it's lobs on tefillin. That's ridiculous. Didn't that emanate from Kedushas Chepsis that tefillin have nothing to do with it? They're not governed by the Zman HaMitzvah. So if you hold, like yesterday, like you thought for Das HaTosfos, that the nature of the Yisr Hezchadas is a function of Kedushas HaTefillin, so then what is the fact that it is Shabbos and not Shabbos? That's not going to impact, that's not going to detract from the Yisr Hezchadas. If you go down the other route of yesterday's Shiur, that the Yisr Hezchadas is a function of the mitzvah of tefillin. That means the mitzvah of tefillin has to be performed in a certain manner. When you're the Masiach Das and the tefillin, you are detracting from your ability to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin. So wait a second. It's Shabbos today. It's Yom Tov today. It's Laila according to half the Tanoim. I'm not supposed to be here to the mitzvah of tefillin. There's not this man mitzvah anyway. So let me hear a good joke. What's wrong with the stand-up comedy on Shabbos wearing my tefillin? I'm not fulfilling tefillin anyway on Shabbos. So what kind of a chisa, what kind of a pagam, what kind of a detracting to the mitzvah? It's not a zman mitzvah altogether. That's the pasha of the bar. But that shaila should depend on those two tzadim of yesterday's shiur. So comes Aruch HaShulchan with the further shaila. He says, what's the din when a person is sleeping, can a person fulfill mitzvahs in his sleep or not? Fascinating, long as you're trying. Is a person a bar hochi to fulfill mitzvahs when he's sleeping? You can't fulfill mitzvahs in your sleep. He gives a mashal. Yeah, I don't think he really means a mashal, but he gives a little bit of a mashal. He says, the Gemara says, in Maseches Midah, that when a person is dead, they're not a bar mitzvahs. That's why the Gemara says that if you want to dress up a person in tachrichim and a shatnez, you're allowed to do that. You know why? Because b'meisim chavshi, when he's dead anyway, he's not fulfilling mitzvahs. The only discussion we should have is, wait a second, when he comes back with tchias ha'meisim, he's going to be a little bit of noise because he's going to be wearing shatnez. So that's a detailed question. But when he's dead, kol yam l'plig, he's not chayvim mitzvahs. So the Yerach HaShulchan says, when a person's sleeping, they're what? That's like a 60th of being dead. Again, it doesn't literally mean it. When you're sleeping, you're not a 60th tummy. When you wake up, you don't need Eva Paraduma. You know, that it doesn't mean it literally. But Derech HaMoshel, he says, the person is out of this world. The Shaman's going up to the Elmas Al-Yayinim temporarily. Mitzvahs don't speak to a person who's sleeping. Mitzvahs speak to people who are awake. Therefore, argues Yerach HaShulchan, when the person is sleeping, he's anyway not what? What is he not doing? He's not fulfilling the mitzvah tefillin anyway. A guy who's sleeping on Tuesday afternoon, up Yidin, is like the guy wearing tefillin Shabbos afternoon. Because in the state of sleep, you're not a gavra, a mekayimus, a mitzvah anyway. And since anyway you're not fulfilling the mitzvah of the Yerach HaShulchan, guess what? There's no issue of what? Of what? Of Heschadas. There's no problem with Heschadas. That's the reason why Heschadas doesn't appear in our Sugya. That's why the Gemara doesn't say a word about Heschadas. Because Heschadas doesn't register to a person who's not fulfilling a mitzvah. Now, that Aruch HaShulchan is a loaded teretz. It's actually making two assumptions. He's assuming, like that Tzad and the Hakir from yesterday, that the Isra Heschadas is a pagam in the mitzvah's tefillin. And he's assuming that the mitzvah still doesn't speak to people who are sleeping. So both of those statements are just. Oh, so the famous Kasha, Abba Zoy, how can you make the mitzvah sleeping in the sukkah? So the famous Pesach of Shlomo Zalman. You know the famous Pesach of Shlomo Zalman? The Zalman held that the mitzvah of sleeping in the sukkah is not when you're sleeping. The mitzvah is the act of what? Of going to sleep. The going teshuvah to do it means just as all year long I get into bed to go to sleep, so I get in my bed and I got to get into my mattress, get into my cot, get into my sleeping bag in the sukkah. Once I fall asleep, the game's over already. Anyone know the famous pesach now? You can drag the guy out as long as he doesn't wake up. So Shlomo Zalman said, when you have a yeshiva and there aren't enough room, not enough room for everyone to sleep, so send the first 10 guys to sleep first. And then as soon as they fall asleep, the guy starts snoring very gently. You don't want to wake him up. You can yank him out of the sukkah and stick him in the street. And then the next 10 guys, and revolving sleeping bags in the sukkah. Because there's nothing usher about sleeping in the sukkah. The issue is the falling asleep. There's nothing usher about sleeping outside the sukkah. The issue is the falling asleep outside the sukkah. Maybe you can argue this in Kula. Remember we mentioned about the guy falls asleep in the middle of the drasha. So if you see a guy sleeping in the middle of the drasha, maybe you don't have to wake him because the issa was, he already violated the issa. He fell asleep in the middle of the drasha. Honest Rahman Papi, the rabbi was so boring, he fell asleep, he couldn't control himself. Now he's snoring and laying in the back. I said, leave a little bit, he's all dying. Never have to wake him up. No, no. It's in Kula. Yeah.
So then why can't you have Shias Kevin?
Because that's going to lead to bizyonis of the tefillin. That you're not allowed to do. I'm not allowed to do anything that's going to lead to bizyonis of the tefillin. Even though I'm sleeping, the tefillin is still being mevuzos. Just one last tekuda, Rabbi, in terms of the sugi of Heschadas. Heschadas is a real serious thing. We're not sure what it means. We don't know whether it means the Rabbein Yonis, the Ramban, the Sheikh Asayi, the Yachashur. We're not sure what it's all about. But Heschadas is a very real problem. Again, according to the Rambam, it's a pasha problem in Atar. According to the Tosfos, it's at least a problem with the Rabbanim. And other halacha that we're concerned with, the Shem Yafiach, which again, according to one day, Tosfos Shem may be identical, is also something very real we have to reckon with. It's a combination of these two factors that have contributed to the shift in the way we perform the mitzvah of tefillin b'zman hazeh. We mentioned, it's clear in the Gemara, that the standard was people would wear tefillin all day long, and most people do not do that anymore. Why not? When did that change, and why did that change? So the Gaonim, we're talking about, you know, before the days of Rishonim still, a few hundred years after the Gemara, the Gaonim already had the following observation, saying, you know, it's too tough for people. A guy's wearing tefillin all day, you know what's going to inevitably happen? He's going to end up being Messiah Das, whatever that means. He's going to end up showing a fear of them. Other things are going to happen, he's going to fall. It's just too risky. People are not quite at that level of wearing tefillin all day, and therefore the Ga'onim instituted a change in shift in practice. It's better not to wear tefillin all day. Now, how do we defend that? The Torah says you have to. What do you mean? We have to rise to the occasion. Well, according to the Prima Gadim, how can we explain that? What did the Prima Gadim say? What do you mean it's a kiyubis? That means it's a chiyubis. The mitzvah chiyubis is to wear tefillin for a short amount of time every day, which is in fact what we do. So since we're anyway wearing the tefillin for a very short amount, we're fulfilling the Torah obligation. It would be very nice, we want to be very, very from and do a mitzvah kiyubis. Don't be from in a kodesh baruch hu's cheshbon. It means don't try to do your mitzvah kiyubis at the expense of shem yafiach, shem yisiyah daito, shem yishon. All the things that may very well go wrong, if en masse for the public we develop this public policy of wearing tefillin all day like we used to do in the old days, so say the Ga'onim, it's too risky. So if there would have been a chi of gom and minat Torah, you wear tefillin all day, well, you know, you gotta do the mitzvah Torah, hope for the best. But since anyway we're not absolutely mechuyuv to wear tefillin all day, we just mechuyuv to wear for a short amount of time, therefore we'll wear for a short amount of time and do our best. Out of the time in the course of the day, when's the most apropos time to pick for that short amount of time? It makes sense for Shema and for Esrei, the time of the Makabal Machu Shemai. The verse says in Brachas that if a person says Kriya Shema without wearing tefillin, it's like a mid in the Shech Biatz, but he's like testifying falsely. Here he's saying, Ukshatam Leel Sayadecha. Not near. So he's testifying falsely about himself. The Chavetz Chaim says that when you say every day, you have to shiva lekecha, and you don't really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you may ir shechem. When you say, v'dibayim tabam, b'shivtcha v'isecha v'lecha, you haven't opened the sefer in months, you may ir shechem v'yatzvot. So we're not encouraging you not to say Kriya Shema, we're encouraging you to actually follow what you said in the Kriya Shema. Fine. So, now we have the strange phenomenon. On the one hand, we would like to wear tefillin all day. That would really be the goal. It's a noble goal, to wear tefillin all day. Reality sets in, and the reality check tells us that not a good idea. Too many potentially soon. So therefore, the Ga'onim came up with this almost this pshat, this compromise that when you're mechuyev to wear tefillin, you wear it. When you're not mechuyev, I'm not mechuyev to wear tefillin out 12:20. You have to do. It's a nice thing to do, but I'm not mechuyev to. Therefore, it's better not to. And that's been the practice pretty much for Klal Yisrael for the last 1,000 years or so. Now again, it's not an issur to wear tefillin all day. You have Yechidei school. It's a guy sitting and learning. You don't realize the Ga'onim wore it, but the Ga'onim wore tefillin all day. Okay, he wasn't to Masir Das on his tefillin, but for the average guy, it's not a good idea. For a short tachlin, tachlin doesn't lift a little bit. So we keep it on for a few minutes till the end of davening.
How long does that stretch?
When davening's over, you want to learn a 5-minute halacha afterwards, Zolzayim. If you're really, really good, you want to learn your daf, depends how fast you learn your daf. So you learn your daf really fast. It's not yivamos. If it's brachas, then you keep it from. Takes you long to do the daf, take it from. That's true. Anyway, Rabbi say, this idea that the Ga'onim instituted for us, that we're walking a tightrope with tefillin, we only want to wear tefillin today when we're really mechuyev to. Anyone know what else this was responsible for? There are two practices in Klal Yisrael today that this became responsible for. That mindset of we don't want to overdo it. We don't want to go a little bit too far in wearing tefillin when we don't have to. Chol Hamoed. I mean, those who Shem say potter. When should a child start wearing tefillin in his lifetime? How old should he be? Why by mitzvah? Gil chinuch. When does the child start to wear tzitzis? When he knows how to get dressed. When does the child start to shake a lulu? When he knows how to shake a lulu. When he's sleeping in a sukkah? When he knows how to sleep in a sukkah. The Gemara says the end of a sechah sukkah that every mitzvah has its own shir depending on when the child's old enough. When should a child start wearing tefillin? But he knows how to wear tefillin properly. If he knows not to go to the bathroom, he knows not to shir yafiach, he knows how to treat the tefillin respectfully. He should wear, how old is that? I don't know, 10, 11, I don't know. Depends on the kid. The Vilna Gaon, at the age of 10, probably knew how to treat tefillin respectfully. And yet, the Rambam writes that we have a practice that kids don't wear tefillin today. We don't let kids wear tefillin until they're bar mitzvah. Shortly before we get them started, otherwise they're not going to know what to do. So a different minhagim, some start the day before, some start a month before, some 3 months before, different minhagim. But the idea being is that we're not running at the age of 10 and a half years old to start having the kids wear tefillin. What happens? So basically, the post came right that if you lived in a perfect world where everyone would be so up to par in their anochas tefillin and paying careful attention to kedusha v'tahara tefillin, that we should probably follow what the ikar din is and have the little kids, 10, 11 years old, start wearing tefillin. But we don't want to do that. So the same way that the Ga'onim told us it's too risky, too dangerous to wear tefillin all day, It's too dangerous for the 11-year-olds to mitzvah also. So we hold off the mitzvah tefillin until you're mamish for chuyuf to do so. Anyone know also another example of something that me'ikra the medina the gemara is mutar, and yet we do not do it anymore?
Women
wearing tefillin for the same reason. The gemara is a long sugya in the Yadav HaSechus Eiruvin about women wearing tefillin, and the gemara relates it to the regular sugya mitzvah sheshes man gemara. We pass in women up to us some tefillin. Why? Because even though Minat Torah we pass giving you tefillin at night, but Minat Torah you cannot wear tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And therefore, since tefillin has a certain timeline to it, Minat Torah is called the Bitzes Sheshes Ban Grama, and therefore women are Pturus from tefillin. That's how we pass it unequivocally in the halacha. Nevertheless, women volunteer Bitzes Sheshes Ban Grama. My wife sits in the sukkah, so my wife comes to Shulti Yashofa, my wife Shay Salula. We have no qualms, no hesitations, women volunteering mitzvahs. Forget. Ashkenazim have a practice of what? When women do mitzvahs that they're not bound by, what do? Make a bracha, shekid yishanu. We spoke about this earlier in the year also. The only one who says, the Rambam says not to. Not the only one, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, there are, the Sfaradim today generally don't make brachas when they volunteer to do mitzvahs, just as Shaz Ban Grama. Those who follow the Pesach with the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, so those Sfaradim will follow the Pesach, so they would not make a brachas. But to do the mitzvah itself, what's the problem? So Sheikh Alula, what's the big deal? It's in the Sukkah. Say Kriyashma. Count Svira. Going to also say the Pturas. Put on film. What's the big deal? So the Ramah writes, no. The book stops here. The Ramah says that women are not permitted to wear tefillin. And if a woman does wear tefillin today, the Ramah writes, it's supposed to be Mochus B, Mochum B, supposed to stop her from wearing tefillin. Why? Why? The Gemara says the Farish that if you hold that women can volunteer, if it says she's not grown, they can volunteer tefillin also. Why? What changed from this man of Gemara? What's the answer? Very simple thing changed. Women are the halakha equivalent of men at 12:30 in the afternoon. They're the halakha equivalent of a boy at the age of 12 and a half. It means anyone who is not chayav goma minat Torah and tefillin, we live in a world of too much eschadas and too much chalas rosh, chav chalas rosh, and too much shem yafiyas and all the goof. Not all the fears and all the concerns that stop the men from wearing tefillin all day like they really should have. That prevent the young pre-bar mitzvah boys at 11 years old from wearing tefillin. All those concerns that have been instituted in the days of the early practice of Christ for 1,500 years, it's the same concern about women. It means women are not chayav sin tefillin. Everybody agrees to that. We passed in our law, that's my grandma. So to tell a woman to volunteer to put on tefillin, that's not right. We volunteer to sit in the sukkah, you have nothing to lose. We volunteer to hear shofar, nothing to lose. Tefillin, you have something to lose. The only reason, by the way, why the Ramon Chassidus says that women shouldn't wear tzitzis, that has nothing to do with this. Tzitzis don't have any kedusha. We wear tzitzis in the bathroom also. There's no eschadas on tzitzis. Anyone know why? It's for a different reason that Ramon says women should not be wearing tzitzis. Well, it became a klum gever once you tell me they shouldn't be wearing it.
Nothing.
But there's no issue of women. Go to the bathroom with your tzitzis on.
You shouldn't wear a four-part garment.
Why not? It's a very long poncho. So the Ramon writes a different reason than that. None of us are really have to wear tzitzis today. Why? Because we don't generally wear four-corner garments. So what do? Bizman is there. We put ourselves into a chiv of tzitzis. We go the extra mile, put on an extremely unnecessary four-corner garment, and then put strings on it. So that's a midas chasidus. That's a mile. That's a mahadrin. That's I'm not discouraging from doing it. You should do it, but it's not meikah. The Ramon writes, for a woman to go ahead and put on a four-corner garment to get herself into a mitzvah that she's anyway not chayav sin. When a man puts on the four-corner garment, once he puts it on, he's not chayav. For a woman, it's like a double midas chasidus. It's like nobody told you to put the four-corner garment on, and even if you have it on, nobody told you to put the strings on. You have to be very, very careful, says the Ramah. When you start to do these wild midas chasidus, when one midas chasidus, builds on another, it reaches a point where it's no longer called Midas Chassidus. You know what it's called? We have another word for it. It's called Yuhara. Yuhara means guided. It means look how from I am. I am so from that I put on four-corner garments to put on tzitzis that I'm not even have to put on tzitzis in the first place. That's very too much. So the Ramah writes that you have to be careful when you have too many Midas Chassidus piled one on top of another. It crosses the line if it's called Yuhara, a Mexicure. It looks like Yuhara. Once somebody was doing a certain action, they were making a certain Nazam Midas Chassidus, doing something, make themselves look a little bit too good. So they asked the Rav, is this a violation of Mechsek Yura? Does this look like Yura? The Rav said, no. The Rav says, not. This is Mechsek Yura. This is Yura Mamish. It's the real thing. It's really guided. It's really not. So bottom line is the Tzitzis part is going to do with that topic, but the Tzitzis part very much does. So Achrei Kichlois HaKol, there's an Isra Ves Chadas on Tefillin. There's a Deraisa Deramon, there's a Mitzvah Tefillin, Kedusha Tefillin, that was yesterday's Shia. Well, how exactly you define as Chadas? So whether you go down to Rebbe, you end up with the Rosh's mouth, you go down to Rabban, you think they're arguing, you think they're agreeing. Whether you think there's a Shia B'davar, whether you like the places Yishonim, whether you think there are Chashuchim, Shtuchim Torah, all the odds and ends in terms of the nuances of what is and what is not as Chadas. And then it's that Isra Ves Chadas slash Kufnoki of Shemir Fiyach, that has created for us the model that we're used to Arayim Azeh, that we only wear tefillin during davening. Pre-Bar Mitzvah boys don't wear tefillin, and the women don't wear tefillin as well. Okay, let's stop for Elgin. Tomorrow we start the next sukkah, which is a big, big sukkah. It's actually it's a real sukkah sukkah. It's sukkah on the first night of sukkah. So a lot of